Chapter 7. We made it about 35 miles outside of town before we hit the first roadblock. I had hoped to avoid the majority of towns and cities by staying on I-10. The local roads would have been far more likely to have petty dictators set up traffic stops to exact taxes or whatever they wanted to call their extortion attempts. We'd passed several off-ramps to little podunk towns and gas stations, which I thought would be great places to get ambushed. But there was no avoiding the intersection of Highway 49, which was a major north-south connector in Mississippi. With an outlet mall and an international airport, it was too much to hope for that someone hadn't taken control of it.
"Hey, Fred?"
Sam asked, pointing out in front of us. He hadn't liked calling me Ishmael. Something about a big whale that had ruined his grade point average in school and made him go into the corporate army. When I told him about getting called Fred by one of the Blues, he'd laughed and said it was perfect for me. I didn't particularly want to be called by the name of a dead guy, much less one that I had personally killed. But the name had stuck. Even the kids were using it now. Whatever. I frowned at him for using that name, to which he smiled, of course, and asked, "What?"
"What's that out there?"
Sam asked. He had stayed in the cab with me while his son George and George's three kids, John, Alice, and Eric, rode in the bed of the truck. It probably broke a number of rules and ordinances, but they were made by governments that didn't exist anymore, so it really didn't matter. They tried to stay low, and I tried not to hit any big bumps that would throw them out. It had worked so far.
"Looks like there's a roadblock,"
I replied, slowing the truck. The people up ahead had put several cars across both lanes of traffic, prior to where the exit ramps left the travel lanes. Only the ones in my lane affected me. There was a concrete divider between the two directions of travel. It was hard to tell if there were lanes through the cars blocking the highway. There probably were, but I couldn't see them from where we stopped. I could, however, see at least four people behind the roadblock. I stopped the truck about half a mile from the roadblock to consider my options.
"What do we do?"
Sam asked. "Well, I doubt any of those people are out here to ensure we're well provisioned as we go past. Nor are they there to wish us a cheery goodbye as they speed us on our way." Sam chuckled.
"That seems logical enough."
"So," I continued, "I suspect they have malice in their hearts and are going to try to take what we have away from us."
"Also a reasonable deduction, seems like."
"The problem is that I don't think I want to give it to them. Nor do I know whether they'll let us go on, even if we gave them everything we have."
"Including the truck."
"Including the truck I so recently acquired," I agreed.
"So what do we do?"
Sam asked. "I'm thinking about that."
"Had any ideas?"
"So far, most of them are just things I don't want to do. I don't want to stop. I don't want to talk with them. I don't want to give them everything I have, including my life."
"All things considered," Sam said, "I'd rather you not give them our lives either."
"I figured you'd feel that way."
"So we're back to the same question. What do we do?"
"I'm still thinking. It seems like there's a plan in the back of my brain. Like I've been in this situation before. But I can't pull it out."
"Well, you're gonna have to decide soon. Because it looks like one of them is coming this way."
I looked up and saw Sam was right. One of the men had left the shelter of the barricade and was coming toward us. Worse, he held a rifle at port arms. Not the friendliest of greetings to send someone out armed, I noted.
"Would you walk up to a bunch of strangers unarmed?"
Sam asked. "Probably not," I replied. I shifted the truck into reverse and backed slowly away from the man.
"What are you doing, Fred?"
Sam asked. "Seeing how much he wants to talk to us, and my name's not Fred." Sam smiled, and the man started running toward us. I sped up, keeping the same distance between us. With no one else on the road, it wasn't difficult.
"You might also be trying to piss him off,"
Sam noted. I looked over and winked. I might be doing some of that, too. I agreed as I looked over my shoulder to drive down the road.
Seems like you might have succeeded,
Sam exclaimed, his voice rising.
Kids, get down.
I looked forward to see the man aiming his rifle at us.
Fuck,
I yelled as I spun the vehicle around. The man fired, but my sudden movement threw off his aim.
Guess we know a little bit more about his intentions,
Sam noted, grabbing hold of the handle above the door as I skewed the truck around.
Guess so.
I put the accelerator to the floor and roared off, jerking the truck back and forth as the man fired a second and third time. Finally, I was around a corner, and I slowed the truck to a stop.
Everyone okay back there?
I asked through the rear window.
Little shaken and bruised, George said. But other than that, we're okay.
So what's the plan now?
Sam asked as I tried to catch my breath and think.
Well, I don't see that we have too many options, I replied. We can't go back to Slidell, and I still don't want to stop and talk to the people at the roadblock.
Nope, Sam said. They didn't look much like the talking types.
Our only other option is to run the barricade.
While they're shooting at us,
I shrugged. I didn't say it was a good plan.
It's just the only one we have,
Sam finished with a sigh.
Pretty much. Let them know in the back to stay down, I said, driving off in the opposite direction from the barricade.
Okay, Sam replied. But aren't you going the wrong way?
Nope, just trying not to make it too easy on them.
I had almost made it back to the prior exit when I saw them.
Persistent bunch, I noted,
pointing at the collection of cars and trucks coming toward us at a high rate of speed.
Who's that?
Sam asked.
The Blues, I suspect.
You're not planning to ram them, are you?
He asked, grabbing onto the oh shit handle again as we quickly approached the oncoming traffic in a high-speed game of chicken.
Nope,
I replied as the distance rapidly decreased. Sam braced for the imminent collision, but we reached the end of the concrete divider and I spun the wheel to the right. I had a momentary view, nothing more than a flash, of the car that went through the space our truck had just occupied. The driver's hands were on the steering wheel, his arms locked for the crash. His eyes were huge, but so was the pistol the passenger was holding to the driver's head. Our truck slid through the grass, threatening to roll, and I straightened it out to control the slide, but then jerked it back to the left to avoid one of the Blues' vehicles that had lost control and was rolling through the median. I spun the wheel back to the right as the car came back under control and drove up onto the westbound travel lane.
Go, go, go!
Sam yelled as the front window spiderwebbed. My senses broadened. They had been completely focused on keeping the car from rolling, and I heard the guns, several of them, firing. I floored it again. The wheels spun but finally caught, and we were off again, headed back toward the barricade. But now we were in the opposite lanes of travel.
Is this a good idea?
Sam asked, motioning to the lane we were in.
Want to go back and ask the Blues if they'd mind if we changed lanes?
No,
Sam yelled as a bullet hit the cab.
Drive! Faster!
My foot was already on the floor, so there wasn't much else I could do. I checked the mirrors. There were Blue vehicles chasing us in both the eastbound and westbound lanes. The ones on the other side of the concrete divider were a little closer as they hadn't had to slide through the median, and a couple of the sportier cars were catching up to us in our lanes. Sam and I both flinched as another round hit the cab.
Here!
I yelled, handing Sam one of my pistols.
What am I supposed to do with this?
Shoot them!
I exclaimed, motioning toward the cars coming up behind us.
I can't hit them with this.
No, but maybe you can make them keep their damn heads down.
He stuck his head and shoulders out of the window, no small feat at the speed we were going, and fired off several rounds. The people at the barricade began firing at us as we approached, although they split their fire between us and the Blue vehicles on the other side of the concrete divider.
Get in,
I yelled. Sam fired two more shots.
Get in, damn it,
I yelled, but Sam just fired again. Realizing he couldn't hear me, I reached over with my right hand, grabbed his belt, and pulled him back toward me. After a moment, he pulled himself back in.
What?
He exclaimed.
I had it.
I pointed in front of us.
Oh, shit,
he yelled. The people at the barricade had called in reinforcements, and I could see more coming. At least five people were now firing from behind the barricade on both sides of the divider. Sam grabbed the handle again as I showed no signs of stopping.
"You can't run into them," he yelled. "The kid's in the back."
At least he was thinking again. He'd been too scared to realize it the first time it had looked like we were going to crash.
"I know," I said with a growl.
The barricade approached with a ludicrous rate of closure, and I could see several of the people behind the barricade break for the sides as they realized we, along with several of the Blues, had no intention of stopping. That proved to be the undoing of one of them as I swerved to the left off the surface of the road to avoid the barricade. I hit him with the right front fender at about 85 miles an hour, catapulting him through the air. I caught a flash of him flying through the air, then he was gone, and all my focus was on regaining control of the truck again as we raced down the embankment. One of the cars following us lost control and rolled, taking out a second Blue vehicle. I swerved to miss a light pole in the center of the embankment and fishtailed back and forth as I overcompensated. The car behind me didn't see it and slammed into it at about 70 miles an hour. The pole snapped down on impact, crushing the roof onto the driver. That car was out of the chase. I had just gotten the vehicle under control when we hit the railroad tracks. Slightly raised, the truck hit them and leaped into the air. I don't know if we actually got airborne, but the truck got awfully light on its suspension before crashing back down on the other side. By now, the truck had slowed to 35 miles per hour, and I easily avoided the large shrubbery in our path and jumped onto the concrete of the cloverleaf, pouring on the speed again as we approached Highway 49.
"Shit!"
I yelled as I stood on the brakes. The highway had a raised concrete curb.
"Hold on!"
I squared up the steering and tried to hit it as straight on as I could. We were only going about 20 when we hit, and the truck scaled the obstacle easily as a bullet whined off the road just to the side of me. I jumped the truck back down on the other side, crossed a small strip of grass, and then was accelerating up the cloverleaf on the other side. I crossed over to the off-ramp just in time to make it onto the bridge over the river it crossed and continued toward I-10. As I expected, there was another barricade on this side of Highway 49 just past where the off-ramp joined back in, and I swerved off the concrete to go around it. There was only one person left at it, either a young man or an older boy, who did nothing but stare open-mouthed at us as we roared past. I gave him a small salute when I saw him look at me. We hit I-10 again, and I floored it once we were stabilized.
"Is everyone all right in the back?" I asked.
"We're good,"
George yelled.
"Scared as shit, and our bruise collection is growing, but we're all still here."
"That turned out okay," I said. I turned to look at Sam and was just in time to see his head snap forward as the bullet hit him.
"Fuck!"
I screamed at the world in general. As Sam slumped forward, I saw the lead Blue car paralleling us on the other side of the concrete divider. The driver was sitting as far back as he could so his passenger could shoot at us. I slammed on the brakes, and the car shot in front of us. Not seeing anyone in our lane behind us, I came to a complete stop and jumped out of the car. I drew my other pistol as the other car did a three-point turn and came back toward us and fired three aimed shots at the driver. The car went out of control after the third and crashed into the concrete divider where it scraped its way to a stop. The passenger crawled halfway out of the window and pointed his pistol at me, but I fired again and his head snapped back as the bullet hit him in the temple. I strode toward the car, hoping he'd move again, but he didn't flinch. I got to the car and shot him again in the back of the head anyway, just because. I hadn't known Sam that long, but I kind of grown to like him. He was the only friend I had, that I knew of at least. And now he was gone. Damn it. Good friends are hard to keep in this fallen world.